Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
And welcome back to the second segment we are filming on Revelation, the 20th chapter. We introduced this last week, and I trust you were tuning in and watching. If you missed it, please go back to our YouTube channel or go back to one of our podcasts or RSS feed for your Android device. And you can do that very simply by going to my website at lynnhiles.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there are icons that will take you directly to those outlets where you can view them again at your leisure and study them. Revelation 20 is probably by far, in my opinion, the most difficult piece of Scripture and the most hotly debated. So while I'm not a fighter, I will simply tell you what I think. We can draw the not just a out-of-context conclusion from, but the context of how we have taught this book for the last, 50 weeks or better, and sharing these truths and showing you how it was written to an audience in the first century that these things were about to shortly come to pass. They were the people who were at the end of the old covenant age, and now the dawning of a new day is upon them. The removal of an old temple is upon them. And it has just in the 19th chapter, the great harlot has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed and burnt to the ground, not one stone left on another. But then immediately upon the following the heels of the destruction of the great harlot, which we showed you was old covenant Jerusalem and old covenant Israel. He says, hallelujah. Now has come salvation. So we move from, we're in a transition in this chapter from the judgment to the redemption. And what this, in other words, a lot of people that teach this kind of thing tell you what it was the end of, but they never tell you what to look forward to as we progress through this. And as we look at these verses, we're going to see that this is, again, the redemptive side of this after the conclusion of the judgments of the old covenant, when the wrath of God has been filled up, when every demand God has, when every plague that they have demanded of God has been fulfilled, then we see the fulfillment of a brand new temple, a brand new Jerusalem, a brand new heaven, a brand new earth, not just a earth, but a heaven also. See, if this is not covenantal language, that means there was something wrong with the first heaven. But the fact that it's a new heaven and a new earth ought to tell you that it was covenantal. And we showed you that in the book of Isaiah when he said, when I stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth and said to Zion, you are my people. When he made a covenant with them, heaven and earth came together in their temple was where God and man met together. It was the Bethel, the place where heaven and earth met together. And that was in a building in the Old Testament. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he was the new Bethel. He was the place where the angels of God ascended and descended. He's the new temple and the new interface that connects heaven and earth together. The new creation, the new man, the new temple, the new heaven, and the new earth are all the results of this new covenant. Now let's look again as we read this again. I'm going to read to you because I dealt with the binding of Satan last week, and we're going to try to go a little further today. Revelation 20 says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that dragon, that old serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut up a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Now, we showed you about the binding of Satan in the scriptures and what that means in the last segment. Go watch that. It does not mean he ceases to operate completely. It just means his power was greatly hindered. And we may be able to deal with just a little bit more of this as we get down in through here. But in the fourth verse, it says, and I saw thrones. Now, I want you to see that there's some terminology that's used as we go down through here, where the writer is talking about the things that he saw, and I saw, and I saw, and I saw. You remember the book of Revelation begins with come and see, come and see, come and see. The end of the book of Revelation ends with and I saw, and I saw, and I saw. So these are things that the writer himself saw within this revelation in first century. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, when the 1,000 years have been expired, Satan will be released out of his prison. I'll get into the satanic rebellion crush later. The above verses that we just read must be connected with the things which must shortly come to pass, because again, the writer is using the terminology of an I saw. In other words, he was seeing these things shortly come to pass. The following verses, the following few verses through verse 10 are prophetic, yet to come to pass, because of the language of the length of time described, although probably not literal. This is a bit of, if you will, a parenthesis or a time that would come. He's talking about some things that would happen in the future, that there would be 1,000-year millennial reign. Last week, I told you a lot about the millennial reign, and what I said to you was that I believe that began with the return of Jesus in fulfillment of his prophecy that he would return while some of them who were alive in the first century were still there. So that would say to me that the millennial reign began right then. Now, what I want you to show you is that there's thrones and a judgment was set. But when I begin to look at this and the beast, again, that we've already established in prior segments, which was the Roman beast, plus it was also Nero as an individual, because he was, sometimes it was talking about the nation of Rome as the beast, and other times it was talking about Nero, who was the individual beast. But there was also the beast that looked like a lamb and talked like a dragon, which to me, again, was dealing with the religious system that looks like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. But this beast we saw that in the 19th chapter, that this beast was being destroyed and it was being defeated. Now, what I begin to do is, as we look back at some things that, let me go back here to Daniel, the 7th chapter, first of all, and read to you from the Amplified Bible, because it does the homework for you to show you when these thrones were set. Remember, he said, I saw thrones and the souls of them that were beheaded. Remember, a lot of these plagues are being poured out in response to the prayers of the martyrs under the altar saying, how long till thou dost avenge us? And he told them to wait just for a little while till those who would be killed would be killed. This is now the days of vengeance, where God is avenging the blood of those martyrs that had been beheaded for the witness of Christ, who refused the mark of the beast, which was Nero and all the stuff that went on with that. You have to go back and study the 13th chapter. I've already covered that. But when you start to put this in the rest of the scriptures and let the scriptures interpret the scriptures, let's look at Daniel and see what he says. This is the 7th chapter. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and the visions of his head as he was lying upon his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the gist of the matter. Daniel said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens. Political and social agitations were stirring up the great sea, the nations of the world. And four great beasts came up out of the sea in succession, different one from another. The first was the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I looked till the wings of it were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon 2 feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, the second one, the Medo-Persian Empire, was like a bear, and it raised itself on one side or on one dominion, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told to rise and devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and behold, the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great was like a leopard, which had four wings of a bird on its back, and the beast also had four heads, which were Alexander's generals, his successors, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, the Roman Empire. So he's showing you the progression of Israel's history from the carrying away of Babylon to the Medo-Persian to the Greeks under Alexander the Great. And now he's seeing in the night visions the fourth beast, which was the Roman Empire. Terrible, powerful, dreadful, exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled what was left with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that came before it. Had 10 horns symbolizing 10 kings. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Now watch this. Verse 9. And I kept looking until thrones were placed. Now I'm telling you, this is a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 20. I kept looking until thrones were placed for the assessors with the judge. And the Ancient of Days, God the Eternal Father, took his seat, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair and his head were pure like wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and its wheels were burning fire. Note this kind of language, burning flames, fire issuing before it. The throne had fiery wheels, and the throne were set, and thrones were set. Probably these thrones that are set are the thrones that Jesus told his apostles, you will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a judgment that would transpire during this Roman kingdom, because he tells you, he's giving you the history and telling you during that time, that's when the thrones were set. And that's when a judgment, God the Father took his seat, and there was assessors with the judge that came with the Ancient of Days, and there was a judgment that was about to ensue. Verse number 10 of Daniel, chapter 7 says, and a stream of fire came forth from before him, and thousand thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 rose up and stood before him. And the judge was seated, and the court was in session, and the books were open. I'm telling you, this is a repeat of Revelation chapter 20. The books were opened. And I looked then because of the sound of the great words which the horn was speaking, and I watched, and the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given over to be burned. That's fulfilled again in Revelation 19 and Revelation chapter 20. He talks about the beast being cast into the fire and into the lake of fire as well. All of these things are the fulfillments that he's talking about in the 10th chapter of Daniel. Let me tell you something. Sometimes I look at these scriptures and I don't want to see what they're saying because I like to go back to my religious default systems and stay with tradition. But when you put this into the time slot of what it's talking about, it becomes a pretty convincing argument to me that when you see it, you can't unsee it. That this is not talking about some future judgment way off in the distant future. This was talking about the judgment of old covenant saints who had not yet been resurrected because there was no resurrection there, and they are being judged according to their works. You and I as believers are not judged according to our works. We're judged as according to whether or not we're in Christ or not, and whether we have faith and we believe. Now, let me go on down through here. And as for the rest of the beast, their power of dominion was taken away. See, that again plays into the whole idea of the saints having authority, and the binding of Satan goes right in tandem with all of this because the power of the dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged, for the duration of their lives was fixed for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, on the clouds of heaven came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. This was, Jesus quoted this verse when he stood before Caiaphas. And when Caiaphas asked him, are you the Christ or not? He quotes Daniel 7. And from henceforth, he says, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and sitting at the right hand of power. Caiaphas knew Romans or Daniel chapter 7, and he knew this guy just declared that he's the one that would come on the clouds, but not come to get you. He was coming on the clouds to appear before the Ancient of Days and was presented before him to receive his coronation as king and Messiah. So it says, I saw in the night vision, behold, on the clouds of the heavens came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And there was given him, the Messiah, dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. I'm telling you, folks, this is a victorious piece of scripture. He received the dominion as the Messiah that all nations, peoples, languages, and that it was the inclusion of the Gentiles. It was the mystery that was hid from ages that was even being unfolded in the book of Revelation in the days of the seventh trumpet. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. So he's talking about his right to reign, not just over the Jew, but over all people and dominions. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was grieved and anxious within me, and the visions of my head alarmed me and agitated me. And I came near to the one of those who stood there and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and he made known to me the interpretation of the king of these things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High, the saints of the Most High God shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. That tells me that the saints of the Most High have the right to rule and reign with Christ, with authority as believers to tread on serpents and have power over all the works of the enemy. And you will see this also in the book of Revelation in just a few verses, where fire comes down from heaven and destroys the enemies of the cross and the saints of the Most High, and it encompasses the camp of the saints. But God gives the ultimate victory, because it goes on to say, but the saints of the Most High God shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly terrible and shocking, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of bronze, which devoured, broke, crushed, and trampled what was left with its feet. And about the 10 horns representing kings that were on its head, and the other horn which came up later, and before three horns fell, the horn which had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and which looked greater than the others. And as I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. That's quoted, again, Daniel chapter 7 is quoted in Revelation 13, verse 7 through 9. Until the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I am submitting to you, that's what Revelation 20 is about. It's on the heels of the destruction of the harlot city that now the true saints of God are about to receive the kingdom that has been prepared for them, and the saints of the Most High possessed the kingdom when the Ancient of Days came and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Thus the angel said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole world, tread it down, break it in pieces, and crush it. As for the 10 horns out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the former ones, and he shall subdue and put down 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change the time of the sacred feast and the holy days and the law, and the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, 2 times and a half times, or 3 and 1/2 years. That is fulfilled in Revelation 13, verse 1 through 6, when there was a mouth speaking blasphemies, and war was made against the saint, and it was given to him to overcome them for a time, times, and a half of times. That was from approximately 66 A.D. to 70 A.D., but now, Revelation 20, we are coming to the end of that, and the judgment has come. But verse 26, but the judgment shall be set, the court of the Most High, and they shall take away his dominion to consume it gradually and to destroy it suddenly in the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my waking thoughts troubled and alarmed me much, and my cheerfulness of countenance was changing me, but I kept the matter of the interpreting angel's information in my heart. Now, let me come back here and show you this also in Daniel, the 12th chapter. Let me find my notes here. This is Daniel, the 12th chapter. I don't know how you can't see this fitting in this first century time slot. If you look at these scriptures and compare them and stop thinking in terms of what is in the future so much as what already occurred, it becomes a whole lot clearer to me. There may be little pieces and things that we differ on, but the simple idea here is pretty clear to me that there was a judgment that took place, a great white throne judgment, where the books were open and the dead were judged out of those books, according to Daniel 7. Now, let's read it in Daniel 12. And at that time, the time of the end, I'm reading again from the Amplified Bible, Michael shall arise, the great angelic prince who defends and has charge over of your Daniel's people. Now, remember also in Revelation 10 and 11, it is the chief messenger, it is the archangel, it is Michael that stands up and declares the sounding of the last trumpet. And it says, there shall be a time of trouble, straitness, and distress such as never was, since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of God's plan for his own. So if their names was written in the book, they're about to be delivered. But whose names were not in the book are cast into the lake of fire. Now, let me just go on down through here a little bit, because I think this is some pretty good stuff. And he goes, and says in verse number 2, now he's talking about the time of the end. The appointed time of the end was the end of the old covenant setting in the same time slot as Daniel was talking about these kings. Now, it says verse 2, and many of those who slept in the dust of the earth, or many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame, contempt, and abhorrence. That's the judgment that's taking place in Revelation chapter number 20. They are being raised to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and abhorrence. And we'll get into more of that in just a little bit. And the teachers and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn money to righteousness, to uprightness and right standing with God shall give forth light like the stars forever and ever. That's actually quoted also in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Now, he tells Daniel to seal up this book until the time of the end. In the book of Revelation, he tells them, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book because the time is at hand. Daniel was prophesying, calling it the distant future. It was probably, I think, somewhere around 400 or 500 years prior to these events taking place that Daniel prophesies. And when he prophesied, it was the distant future. So when you start talking about time and say, well, time with God is nothing, it could be, when he says shortly come to pass, he could mean a million years. Well, he didn't mean that when he talked to Daniel. He told him this was for the distant future. But in Revelation, I believe it's the last chapter, it says that don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book because the time is at hand. It's not for the distant future. It was the time of fulfillment was at hand. So he tells him, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Then many shall run to and fro and search anxiously through the book, and knowledge of God's purposes as revealed by his prophets shall be increased and become great. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, the one on the brink of the river on this side, and on the brink, and the other on the brink of the river on that side. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the rivers, and he held up his hand and his left hand toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for time, times, and a half of times, or 3 1/2 years, when they have made an end of shattering and crushing the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, I'm not going to draw the charts back up on the screen here, but when you remember, I drew the charts of the biblical time of the end, the back book end of the final 3 1/2 years of the scope of this prophecy was from the time that the daily sacrifice was taken away around 66 A.D. and the abomination of desolation was set up, was 3 1/2 years times and a half of times, the same amount of time that the beast would wear out the saints, the same time that the Gentiles, the Romans, would tread the city for 42 months. These are the same time spots. Now, When you begin to see that, you can see that he's talking about that time slot of 1 or 3 and 1/2 years, and when they have made an end of shattering or crushing the power of the holy people. In other words, their exclusive covenant with Yahweh was now completed. God no longer was in covenant with them. He says, "And I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O Lord, what shall be the issue and the final end of these things? And he, the angel, said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves, make themselves white, and be tried, smelted, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the teachers and those that are wise shall understand." That's scripture, and Daniel chapter 12, verse 10 is fulfilled in Revelation, where he said, "Let him that's filthy be filthy still, let him that's righteous be righteous still." In other words, it is lights out, and for those that will do wickedly, they're going to do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. And from the time that the continual offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That was the exact amount of time before the power of the holy people was destroyed, was 1,290 days. Blessed, 3.5 years times and a half a time. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be spiritually prosperous and to be envied is he who waits expectantly and earnestly, who endures without wavering beyond the period of tribulation. And it comes to the 1,335 days, which is the fulfillment of those, that he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. Because the salvation that was ready to be revealed in the last time was the salvation and a redemption from the law of Moses. And also now all of these plagues and all of these judgments are now behind them. And the kingdom is now in full force, delivered completely, because you can't go back to Judaism when there is no temple to go back to. And then he says, "But you, O Daniel, who is now over 90 years of age, go your way until the end. You will rest, and you shall rest and shall stand fast in your allotted place at the end of days." So he's telling Daniel, you will also be part of this resurrection that would occur in the last days. This puts this judgment squarely in AD 66 to 70 AD. Well, we're out of time again. Tune in again next week as we continue this study. I really need your help to help support this kind of a message. It's very rare that you're probably going to hear this on television. But if you go to my website at lynhiles.com, there is a place where you can give through our PayPal portal with your credit card or debit card. You set up a monthly debit if you'd like to, or give a one-time gift. You can send a check or money order to the address on the screen, or you can call the phone number that's on there and someone will take your credit card over the phone. But do it today. God bless you. Wouldn't it be incredibly good news if the last days are past days and not in your future? What if you don't have to face a future 7 years of hell on earth called the Great Tribulation and worry about a future mark of the beast? What if you discovered that these events happened in the past and were written about to a first century church and are not in our future? If this interests you, then this study guide will be well worth your time as it explores these and other subjects in great detail.